Okay, it's good to be back. It's good to be back home in the spot, getting back to the routine, seeing what Mr. Scale has been wanting to tell me for the last few days. When I got home, he smacked me. When I got back, Mr. Scale, you know, he put it on me. He let me know that, you know, though you appreciate it and you love what you did in New Orleans, there's a price to pay. And I was aware of that. And I did try to exercise a tad bit of moderation in my New Orleans food adventures. But I was in New Orleans, damn it. So, but I posted a graphic to my Facebook. The last time I got on a scale before I left for New Orleans, I think it was a Friday. It was my before work way after the walk. It was a 214.7. That's a low. That was, I knew it's anomaly weight, which I call anomaly, meaning that I know it's lower than what it probably really is. It was at 214. When I came back, got on the scale, I was at 224. Again, that's an anomaly weight. I know it's a little bit higher than with the actuality. But it's an indication of trend, as I always say. So today I walked and I did my thing, and yesterday was a day in the office and there were snacks, but I didn't really overdo it. I did pretty good in the office yesterday with the snacks and stuff. I did pretty good. And I should have a New Orleans background. Hold on. Okay, that's the best I can do right now on a quickie. Back from New Orleans, the eating, the food, it was fantastic. It was wonderful. It was, you know, just standing in the climate. I mean, I just caught myself a couple of times just standing there and just enjoying the feel of the air, of humidity, barometer, whatever, the air pressure, I don't know what it's called, temperature. It was just comfortable, the food and the music and the people and the festivities. So Mr. Scale let me know. Mr. Scale said, you know, you're going to pay for what you did. I got my steps in and everything now. So I got my steps in, so I did good on the steps. I did really good on the steps. Well, maybe not really good. Maybe not really good, but I did okay. I did really good. you can probably see I'm doing stuff. I'm trying to play it off. I just got to remember the last thing I said when I said it. So, you know, I'm back to eating my regular breakfast and my getting ready for work, getting ready to punch in. I did pretty good. I got back to, when did I fly back? Okay, Monday I worked 4 hours in New Orleans, which turned out really good because the hotel Wi-Fi wasn't any good. So I had to connect to, my hotspot. I used my phone on my hotspot and it actually held up. I had 5G full bars and I used the VPN for my work laptop. I took my portable monitor. I actually carried my portable monitor and my laptop because I requested vacation, but I requested late. And Monday was a holiday in Manchester, in the United Kingdom. So we were short staffed, so my vacation got denied. Now, what I could have done was just called off anyway. But, you know, I said, I'm going to give it a go. So I went ahead and took my laptop and just in case I could do some work, just in case. I said, we'll give it a go. I took my laptop with me. You know, at least I made an effort. I made a concerted effort to at least try, you know, to get some stuff done at work and save PTO. Let's just face it, and save some PTO. I mean, let's be real, you know, and save some PTO. So that's a thing. Let's just face it. It's a win-win. It was definitely a win-win. And So it worked. It worked. I was actually the my phone hotspot connection was better than the hotel Wi-Fi. And I actually was able to do my job for 4 hours. Now, granted, it wasn't the toughest day. It wasn't the most busiest day in the world. Granted, it wasn't the most busiest day in the world. And, you know, it just happens to sit right. And it was good. It was just good. It was good. It was good. I even think I got up and got some steps before I worked. I'm not sure. But anyway, I got the steps afterwards. No, I had steps from the night before. I had like 3,000 steps from the night before after the P-Funk show. You know, it got out at midnight and walking around and, you know, at the show and doing that. So, you know, it turned out pretty good. And I was able to work. And then I worked 4 hours Monday. And then Tuesday morning, I jumped on an airplane, 5:30 a.m. I hit Burbank at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. I had to go through Vegas. I still hit Burbank at 10 a.m., 10:13 or something like 10 a.m. And Burbank, my God, life-changing. First of all, Burbank, you get off on a ramp like the old school. You get up on a ramp and stairs. You can get off an airplane and you're like walking outside and you walk into the terminal. But when you walk into the terminal, it seemed like as soon as I walked into the terminal, I saw the street. As soon as I walked into the terminal, it looked like I could look, you know, through the gate, you know, the gate areas, and I can actually see an opening in a window, and I could have swore I saw the street. I'm like, wait a minute, that's the curb. I think I was at the curb hailing a ride share in 2 or 3 minutes. 2 or 3 minutes. LAX, you talking about a 10, 15 minute walk. LAX, you talk about a 10, 15 minute walk this way, that way, that way. And then forget it. You get to LAX, ride share, you got to get on a bus and go somewhere else. Literally, at LAX, you got to get on a bus and go somewhere else to get the ride share. I usually catch the flyaway, so I just got to walk up to the curb. And then I get on the flyaway bus. And then it takes me to the flyaway place, then I got to catch an Uber home. And that whole thing usually costs about $25. I flew to Burbank. We walked off the airplane. I was at the ride share pickup area probably in 3 minutes after, 4 or 5 minutes after I got off the airport, after I got off the airplane, stepped off the airplane. I called a Lyft. It got me home. I think I paid $25. I think it was $25 to get me home. No other stop. And I got home in like 20 minutes. That's like, it costs less and 1/3 the time. So I got to rethink all my thinking. When I fly back home, maybe if I fly out, I don't know. Maybe if I fly out, getting an Uber to Burbank, catching an Uber to Burbank might be $25, where that's how much I'm paying to catch the flyaway. The thing with the flyaway, you know, LAX has more flights and more convenient flights and this and that and cheaper than this and that. But the thing, I fell in love with the flyaway because it was only $9. $9, you know, that just stuck in my mind. That's the ultimate. And maybe I need to reevaluate that because you got $9 for the flyaway and you got 15, you know, between 13, 14, 15, 16 for the Uber. And the price of Lyft and all that, you know, so the Burbank thing was cool. Got home. I worked that day. I got through it. I worked 8 hour shift, got off work, fell out. You know, got my steps doing work. Fell out, and then yesterday I had to go in the office. So fell out Tuesday night, woke up Wednesday, didn't get up, you know, the way I wanted to. Didn't quite get up as early as I wanted to, but I got going. I didn't get up as quite as early as I wanted to, but I got going. And I got my steps in, I got to work, and, you know, I didn't get my usual, you know, 15,000, 16,000 that I can get on a work day. And I think I came in about, you know, 11 or 12,000 or something like that. Worked in the office. You know, my energy was, I wasn't flat. I was feeling pretty good. And today I got up. Today was a regular routine, default location, default route, default time walk. You know, the pool thing, sweat, sauna suit, my sauna jacket, everything back to normal. And now I'm sitting here, came home, even got up a little earlier, finished making grits, and here I'm ready to go. And here I'm ready to go. And the one thing I also do up today, I hope to order some glasses. I got to order some glasses. See, these reflective glasses, they get on my nerves. kind of. And what I want to do is get computer glasses. Glasses that when I'm sitting here, there's no bifocal. It's just all computer. All the, you know, small part. Because this is the only part I really need. Here's how I should wear my glasses. How's that look? Does that look okay? Here's how I should wear my glasses when I'm sitting here. Because I don't even need the top part. And then when I want to look over the top, I can just look up like that. But this is how they really should be. Does that look okay? Because I feel like, I like to wear them down here. But I guess I should wear them right there. This is where I really should wear them. This is perfect. Man, I think they reflect now. Now that reflection part. And then when I look up, I'm looking over the top. Anyway, so here I am in this Hollywood city. City of stars moving, grooving the cars. Guess I'll talk about the funk later. Huh? How about that? Talk about the funk later? Can I talk about the 420 funk mob and George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic? And that? And their new opening song, The Booty? And I think I saw Mr. Clinton practicing that booty in the studio. I was like, I heard him, he was singing Booty. Oh yeah, Booty. I think he had a clip in the studio that was doing it. And I don't know if I heard the music or not, but the music, they had new music. And when it came on, I was like, what is that? When it came out to it, I was like, what is that? But it was, it was kind of a go-go beat. I was like, oh, that sounds like go-go. But, it's a different thing. Let me just say that right now, and I got to get to work. Let me just say it right now. What George Clinton, the Parliament Funkadelic does is different than what the 420 Funk Mob does, which is different than what Zap does. It's all different things. It's almost like comparing apples and oranges. It really is really almost like comparing apples and oranges. It really, really is, to a point that you can't compare. It's like two different, two completely, it's like different. They're just like different things, just different. So let's just leave it at that. So if you say one is better than the other, what you're probably saying is you like one better than the other. And is that what we're really always saying? When you actually say one is better than the other, aren't you really saying you like this one better than the other? But sometimes I guess you could be more scientific and more objective and say, this one is better because it's more efficient. This one is better because it maximizes its energy to produce more. We're actually can get an objective instead of an aesthetic kind of, I like this one more because the vibe is different. I like this one more because it's more hype. I like this one more because, they don't be playing Shake the Gate music. I didn't mean to say that. That slipped. I said before 24, I did play One Nation Under the Groove. I'm not going to talk about it, but there is a thing. I call it the Bobby Easton thing because he was the most blatant example of it. That where he played a park in Compton, there was a bunch of Negroes out there, and he played all B-sides of Funkadelic. Where I'm thinking these people want to hear Atomic Dog, they want to hear Flashlight. They want to hear any deep. They want to hear One Nation. They want to hear the hits. And he played all of that. And I asked him, I said, blah, blah, blah. He said, what's going on, man? He said, well, what about what I want to hear? And I was like, I like that. Me, my objectivist and myself and, who cares about what other people think? What I want comes first. I was like, I like that, Mr. Easton. That was a bit selfish and I liked it. But it comes a balance, it comes a balance. 420 Funk Mob. I wouldn't say hurt me, but it would be weird to see them play hits, to see them play Flashlight, to see them play the hits. That's not what the 420 Funk Mob was for. But I turn around and you look at the crowd at the P-Funk show and you see the people who are buying the tickets. Those are the people who need to be pleased. The people who are buying the tickets need to be pleased. And you look at the demographic of those people and what they like and what guess what you may think they may like and what they may not like. Keep them buying tickets. That's the whole important part because people look like me ain't there. People like, if it was up to people who look like me, Mr. Clinton then would have stopped touring a long time. So it was kind of a brilliant move for them to grab that audience or take hold of that audience or somehow bring that audience in because that audience sustains my love and my passion to where I can go see that goddamn group and be front row every time. So, and I understand that, from Mr. Clinton's perspective, he's looking back at the crowd. So he sees way more than I do. He has way more years of experience of what they want, what they don't want, you know, what moves them, what doesn't move, what needs to be done, this and that and that and that. And so I have to default to his judgment because it seems to be working. It seems to be working. They keep getting booked. The crowds are still there. The demographic is consistently 20, 30, 40-year-old white males and females. And I have to say, and females. There's females there too. You know, there's females that come there, not with their boyfriends or anything, but, you know, they go, oh, it's just George Clinton, you know, and then they want that party, whatever that is, you know, and I know that, you know, Brandy, Scott and the kids, the 3GP vibrates on that, that younger level. It resonates with that younger level. So I understand the Shake the Gate and understand, you know, they like that hip hop, and but you still got that funk behind it. So we kind of getting, you know, both worlds, you know, to hear Mr. Curry and Mr. Josie and all them play behind Mr. Oliver and Mr. Hamza sometimes play all that play behind Mr. Thomas, the horns, everybody to hear all that ad-libbing and musical stuff behind the track, put that thing on it, you know, so like Get Low is pretty good, you know, now, you know, Pole Power, I still don't understand Pole Power. A pole ain't nothing but a pole and a hole in it. What the hell does that even mean? Pole power. Pole power. That one I just, you know, I sing it and I do it, you know, because I know Miss Carlon Thompson Clinton is up there with her camera. You know, I want to do something nice for PTV. I love PTV and all hell. Carlon Thompson Clinton and her endeavor. And I often wonder, is history going to write? Is history going to tell her story? I wonder if history is going to tell her story and the impact she may or may not have had on me in sustaining this group that I get to go see. And I've asked people before, the consensus is, you know, her role in all of this seems to be consistent. And, you know, it could be possible that without her, we wouldn't be out there, you know. It could be very well be possible that, you know, without, you know, what she did and, you know, gave and who she is and how she believes and all of that, you know, it, you know, all of this may have possibly come to an end years ago. But so, you know, that always, and I saw her say, when they was playing that for opening track, Uncle Music, I saw her, you know, getting it. She still got it. I mean, not that she old enough and she still got it, but we all old, but, you know, she still had a little, she got this, like, little groove. I'm telling you, it's like, and it's not like, you know, the usual groove. You see people have different grooves, you know. You see one demographic, you know, they kind of got this, and you see other ones kind of do this, like Tanisha, Miss Nelson, she got one, and Mr. Payne even got a different one, you know, and it's like a different thing, even Trelew, he even got a different, you know, kind of thing, and then you see Carlon's, and then Brandy, of course, you know, hers is just like Kendra, Miss Foster, they all got different, you know, way they bounce on it, but when Carlon and, when she does her, every now and then she catches me because she be doing this like kind of like little, it's kind of like, I don't know. It's just, and I wanted to record it because I was like, ah, get it. Every time I see it, it surprised me because I think we old and, you know, we oh my God. Because I think we old and we need to, you know, I forgot to clock in. I'm up here talking to y'all. Oh my God. Come on, baby. Come on now. Punch in. Get that in there. 12 o'clock. Woo! All right. Because, you know, even if it's 12:01, you know, I could play it off and do this and do that, but I don't, that's not how I work. That's not how I operate. It's zero sum. Zero tolerance. You're late or you're not late. So, let's see what we got. I gotta do some work, y'all. I gotta give some attention to my other passion. I have to give attention to my other passion, which sustains my other passions. This passion sustains the other passion. Because without this, wouldn't have been in New Orleans this weekend. Anyhow,